Well, my next guest is the man behind the new play at the Conservatory called Our Christian Nation. Our Christian Nation is a play that imagines a country run by the extreme Christian right. The two-act satire is written by longtime comedy writer and playwright Joe Janes. Joe's one of Chicago's most prolific writers. Whether it be full three-act plays or his daily sketch project, I think he has more plays and sketches than days lived. Joe Janes, my guest tonight. Joe, great to see you. How you been, man?
Great to see you, Justin. I've been doing really well.
Am I right in that you have more pieces of work, written work, than age, or let's just say 8 years lived?
It could be. I mean, I really haven't measured it out, and now that things are electronic, it's hard to really lay it out to kind of get a visual on it.
Hundreds, though.
Yeah, hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of, yeah, maybe thousands.
Where does this play come from?
This play comes from me being really angry at the world, and it got started with people trying to tear down the separation of church and state. I mean, that's the basic thing. Mm-hmm. Doing it at the state level and the national level, and women's rights, and revising history so that it looks like we're a Christian nation. I did a lot of research on this, and I found out that Lincoln's a bad guy. Lincoln's considered a bad guy because he wasn't baptized, and the Civil War was a way to punish him, and he might have been a little gay.
Mm.
So God was out for
double trouble.
Yeah, and that the slaves maybe were okay with their situation.
That's really
They had a job, they had food, they had a place to sleep.
This is what you learned in research?
This is what I learned. This is actually from a Christian homeschooling lesson. And of course, the slaves weren't slaves, they were workers. So it was really mind-blowing. And
so the concept of the play is to sort of imagine a world that was almost built by this sort of the Christian homeschooled lesson.
It's like if Idiocracy and The Handmaid's Tale had a baby, got, you know, a drunken, you know, liaison.
Yeah, right.
And this is the child that came out. It's just insane. It's like, here's where we're going if we don't stop. And just the whole revising stuff is the thing that drives me crazy. They're revising fairy tales.
Right.
We have a Goldilocks in our show, and she breaks in to the Three Bears home because she wasn't raised properly in a Christian home. And spoiler alert, it doesn't end well because of stand your ground rules.
Joe, as a satirist, as a writer, I mean, does the times we're living in with a new president and everything that's happened in the last 6 months, is it good for writers? Is it bad for writers?
It's horrifying. It's interesting because we did this show initially in the summer up in Waukegan, part of a theater festival in Waukegan, and we're doing it now. And before the election, it was a lot funnier. Now it's more horrifying. Hmm. So there's been a little bit of a flip because it's getting a little bit too close to the bone for what we were making fun of. So, you know, it's one of those mixed things. It's like, yeah, it's a great time to write satire, but at the same time, it's like, I'd rather not have it be a great time to write satire.
Right. Is it harder to write satire in the way that you have to make things, you have to almost embellish more than you would need to sort of have razor sort of thin satire, because everything that's happening in real time is, you know, you hear that all the time. People are like, this can't be real. This
right.
must be a joke. For writers, for comedy writers, you have to almost exaggerate it more than it needs to be.
You have to get ahead of the curve. Yeah, absolutely. Because now it's like anything can come out of Washington or any capital, and you're like, I couldn't even think of that. And
as a comedy writer, as someone who's, like I said, written so many things, Joe Janes, in studio, longtime comedy writer here in Chicago. I always think about this, and I'm glad to have you here, because we've known each other for years, but are there some topics you won't take on? Like, to take on religion, to take on the Christian right? I mean, automatically, you're getting into areas where people don't necessarily all say, oh, that's a good laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, this is well, no, sacrilegious, if you will.
This thing, the play is chock full of horrifying things. And one thing I also discovered is, this is something that I wouldn't normally gravitate towards as a source of humor, is gay conversion therapy. Like, I had thought it had just been like a thing where a guy did in an office somewhere. But there are hundreds of camps around the country, this country, unregulated, where kids are kidnapped during the night with their parents' grace to go to a camp and get straightened out. and, you know, essentially psychologically and, physically tortured. And, you know, there's nothing funny in that. We try to do that, though.
You know, but, yeah, but, I mean, that's – for you, I mean, you're a well-read dude, right?
I
mean,
try.
Yeah, but, I mean, how much do you have to go into research and really sort of get yourself educated on subjects before you can satirize them?
A lot. There's two documentaries that I checked out for this play, and one I'm sure you probably heard of, Jesus Camp, which was pretty popular.
Yeah.
And then the other one was called Kidnapped for Christ, which is about conversion camps. And that really got the ball rolling for, like, I am so angry about this. I need to distill this and find a way to express this. Like, I'm not a strong physical man, so my only weapon is satire. And I've got to shout.
Good thing you're not. I mean, what would you do? You'd be lifting up cars?
I would be going Hulk right now. It would be crazy.
Well, it's interesting because I wouldn't necessarily think, and I think a lot of young comedy writers, they probably wouldn't necessarily think that there's research that goes into satire or putting together any sort of piece of comedy. But there is. I mean, you just talked about you're watching two different documentaries for just that joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Christian Nation, there's a lot that goes into this play, not just the gay conversion therapy stuff. So you're for just that sketch, you're watching two documentaries.
Yeah, it helps to be a news junkie, but also like a legitimate news junkie. Like, you're reading valid news sources and not blogs. Right. I mean, it's fine to read opinions, but distinguish them between opinion and fact. But yeah, it takes a lot of research. Well, it's like John Oliver has fact checkers. You know, they do their research and make sure that it's a joke they're going for, but it's a joke that's grounded in a fact. There's nothing in the play that's not based in quote unquote truth. You know, what's actually happening out there.
Joe Jane's new play at the Conservatory is called Our Christian Nation. It runs Friday and Saturdays through the 29th of April. Conservatory is at 4210 North Lincoln Avenue. Joe Jane's, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. I really want to get at, I mean, one of the things that you've distinguished yourself as in Chicago as a prolific writer, you write nonstop. I mean, you did the sketch project, the 365 project, where you did a sketch a day for a year. Let's talk about what it takes to that discipline and what it takes to actually produce in that manner beyond just sort of having the idea.
Sure.
We'll do that. Joe Janes, my guest. Stay with us. In studio tonight, Joe Janes, Chicago comedy writer, teacher, longtime actor, director. His new play, Our Christian Nation, is on stage Friday and Saturdays, 8 o'clock through April 29th at the Conservatory.
May 5th. We May added 5th. A show.
Yeah. There you go, man. Extended. You can put extended on the poster now. 4210 North Lincoln Avenue. They're also planning to go to Edinburgh, the Fringe Festival, this year.
We are. We're going to take this show to Scotland to prove to the rest of the world we're not all crazy here now. There's a sane voice.
That's
a few
so
sane
fun,
voices.
Man. We could do. You got to come on after that, so we can just talk about Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'd
that
love
is. To. I mean, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, Edinburgh triples in size.
It's
population.
Amazing.
Tons of artists come into town, and they do like month long festivals.
Shows great. From 9 a.m. till after midnight.
Oh, so fun. For you, I mean, and I kind of teased this before the break. You have such a tremendous discipline when it comes to writing. You're constantly writing stuff, whether it be for your own. You know, whether I don't know if you just stack this stuff away, but also for production and theater here in Chicago through all the different places you've worked. Where does that come from? I mean, because a lot of people, we were just talking to Big Boy in the last hour just about he spent 3 years on this record. That's coming
out. Oh, wow.
But I mean, just the idea of like, where does it come from, the speed in which you write?
Well, for me, it's an improv background. When it comes to writing, I'm just improvising on paper. You know, I'm just like, but I'm in charge of all the characters, so I don't have to worry about somebody coming in going, hey, I'm a cowboy. That's great. I'm in an operating room. So it's like, you know, I'm just yes-anding myself while I'm sitting down to write. And wherever I start is arbitrary. You know, it's just like when you go see an improviser improvise, they're not like, I would have improvised last night, but I couldn't think of anything to say.
Right.
You know, so just start anywhere. And that's usually what happens. Like a lot of times when I start a draft of a sketch or what might be a 10-minute play, I might spend the first page shopping around for what the play's about, and then it kicks in, and then I go back and edit, and you know, it's just
so it's playing. it's more free association kind of writing. Or do you sit down like with Our Christian Nation? Do you sit down saying I have a point of view I want to take on a certain point of view?
Yeah,
and I'm going to start writing for.
Well, yeah, it's a slightly different animal, but ultimately the approach is akin to it, where I just had to sit down and kind of tap into, like, this is the story and letting it flow and then go back and shaping it. With our Christian Nation, what happened was Three Brothers Theater in Waukegan was looking for resident playwrights, and I applied, and I pitched them the idea for our Christian Nation. And they're like, hey, we don't need you as a resident playwright, but we love this idea. Can we do it for a stage reading? And I'm like, sure. This was April. The stage reading was in July. So the real key for my being prolific is deadlines.
Yeah, right.
You know, like if I have a deadline, I get it done. If I'm just like, whatever it's for me, you know, I've got another play that I've got 20 pages into that I started 3 years ago.
Some don't go anywhere. But, yeah. You know, I let's take back. I kind of mentioned the 365 project you did a couple years back where you did a sketch a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always wondered about, and there were so many questions about that concept, because as someone who writes on a daily basis for this show or has done comedy before, there's a lot of times where, you know, it's a slog, or it's you're not feeling it that day, and you try to find inspiration. How do you, as a writer, as a creative person, execute a vision like that, the idea of doing something every single day for a year?
Well, again, it was like setting deadlines and also painting myself into a corner. I told a close group of friends that I would email them a sketch before I went to bed. And then if I didn't, they had carte blanche to do whatever a consequence would be for me. And I just never missed a deadline, so I don't know what that consequence ever would have been.
You were that scared of the consequence.
Yeah. So painting myself in a corner. And yeah, there are definitely times where it's like, it'd be like 11 o'clock at night and I didn't have anything. And I'd be like, all right, here we go. And just start writing. Or I'd look, my favorite technique is to go on iTunes. If you're like me, you have like over 5,000 songs and I don't know most of them. And I would find a title that I wasn't familiar with, but I thought was intriguing. And I would write a sketch for that title. And so that was kind of my go-to backup improv suggestion.
Yeah, I guess for me, and I try to take away some of the lessons from this experience, because for 365 days, you challenge yourself to be creative. So anyone who's listening right now who might be an artist, who might be a writer, or might have just a creative mind, is thinking about how that's part of the, I mean, half, if not more than half the battle is actually executing the idea that you come up with.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at, like just right there, like just what you're talking about, having improv suggestions in your head or having a group of email, like your friends and worried about the consequence. Those are the kind of things you need to do if you want to be, you want to be prolific like this.
Absolutely. And also it's getting beyond waiting for inspiration. You know, it's doing the work without inspiration. And actually, sometimes getting into the process of writing something can be inspiring. You know, you don't wait for it to happen to you. You go after it.
Right. For you, I mean, you do a lot of work that's commissioned, and you'll also do work that's technical, meaning it, you know, it pays the bills.
Sure.
Is there a different approach to the stuff that might not necessarily be from the head of Joe Janes, but it might be something that I've got to write this spot for? You know, for the gas station on the corner, whatever it is. But is there a different process that goes into the more sort of corporate work?
I find it easier to do that stuff. Like, I find it easier if I know who the actors are that I'm writing for, because I'm familiar with their voice. I'm familiar with their humor. It's much easier for me to write towards them, especially if I get a chance to talk to them and find out what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. So if it's a corporate thing, I'm finding out, well, what are you interested in conveying? And give me some parameters here, because I find it really easy to be creative when I have parameters. If it's carte blanche, it's easy to flounder,
right?
Because there's nothing to really hang on to.
Right. That's when you go to iTunes.
Tell me some things I can't do,
right?
And then I'll fill the voids.
You know, for you, and I think about, you know, the fact that you have been an improviser, you've been a teacher, you've now, you know, writing plays. Is there one area you like more than others? I mean, I've sort of known you for a long time, and I've known you to be now I feel like I know you to be, like I said, sort of like a very prolific writer in Chicago. But is there a way that you identify yourself?
I think mostly as a writer. You know, there's nothing that gives me more pleasure than to hear an actor say a line that I wrote on stage and get a big laugh. To me, that's just like, that's the icing on the cake right there.
And for you, I mean, when I think also about that concept, you know, do you... you know, you look back on those days and wonder why there's not more sort of people, I guess, you know, that do written work as opposed to improv in this town. I mean, improv is the huge sort of the go-to, but it seems like it's almost a, it's such a natural for improvisers to turn into writers and use the same techniques.
Well, I think the writing program at Second City, I didn't mean this to turn into a plug for the training center, but I teach in the writing program there. And what I noticed from that, from my own experience, is that I became a better improviser from taking writing classes. And writers become better writers by taking improv classes. So there's definitely a yin-yang thing going on there.
All right, so Our Christian Nation on stage till May 5th. You know, it's going to Edinburgh. Where can people find out about the – because you guys are going to raise money to go to Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look us up. Our Christian Nation Invades Edinburgh on Indiegogo.com. And anything – would be grateful for helping us out.
Well, you can go see the show Our Christian Nation, which is on stage Fridays and Saturdays, 8 o'clock through May 5th, the Conservatory, 4210 North Lincoln Avenue. Joe Janes is the writer. He's a longtime writer, improviser, director, instructor here in town. Joe, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, Justin. Had a great time.
We will give you a beautiful 7 3/4 inch tripod free of charge.
Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN, and it's Friday night, 10 o'clock. It's time to put Shark Tank Steve Gadlin into the frying pan. Yeah. Gadlin is the brain behind the successful local business I Want to Draw a Cat For You.com. He presented his business idea on the television program Shark Tank, and he snagged Mark Cuban as a principal investor. So now Steve has to go back to Mark Cuban with new ideas. But before he goes into that pressure cooker, he comes to WGN Radio to jump into the frying pan. He's given us his exclusive business idea so we can poke holes in it and give Steve the confidence he needs to pitch it to Cuban himself. Steve Gadlin, welcome back to the frying pan, my friend.
Thank you, Justin. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you here. Of course, the number 312-981-7200. And, you know, I'm excited because, you know, we moved this segment to a once a month thing. So I feel the anticipation. More people saying, when's Steve going to be back on? I want to hear his next idea. They're excited.
Well, you know, what I tell you, too, it allows these ideas to really percolate in my mind.
Edit.
And when an idea percolates, you really, you know, it by the time I bring it to you and your listeners, these are refined ideas.
All right.
So it's really useless to criticize them.
Yeah, no, well, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. Again, 312-981-7200. All right, Steve, why don't you start it off tonight? What is your idea for this week's frying pan?
All right, so here we go. Justin, college season is upon us, college graduation season. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of young men and women will be graduating trying to enter the workforce. Now, one of the things that happens when you go to a job interview is you get that first impression where you get to shake the hand of the person who's interviewing you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I tell you, a lot of the millennials these days just really fail at that initial moment. That first moment to make an impression, that firm handshake, is sort of a thing of the past. So what I've invented is a device called a better handshake.
Okay.
Maybe even the better handshake.
Let's call it the better handshake.
Yeah. So it's sort of a metal prosthetic that fits on the outside of your hand. And what you can do is through a knob attached near your shoulder area, you can adjust the pounds per square inch. And then when you go to shake somebody's hand, there's a sensor that can tell you're gripping another human being's hand. And then based on what setting you put it to, it will make sure you squeeze at the appropriate pounds per square inch. So the PSI really goes, tss, you get that nice noise, and it makes sure you give a firm, solid handshake built specifically to whatever specification you turn it to in the dial. It goes from 0 to 50 pounds per square inch for a handshake.
That's good because there's obviously a lot of issue around sort of the fish-like handshake or
well, yeah. And that first impression is a first impression. You only get one chance to make it, as they say so often in commercials. And what happens here is it gives you the confidence to know you're going to give a scientifically measured firm handshake the first time you meet that interviewer. And this is, you know, I push this for interviews because I know that first handshake is so important. But really, this can be used
for
in any
anything,
social situation.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. You buy it once, you attach it to your arm, and again, you've got that dial to adjust. And you can shake hands without any fear, without even a second thought.
I have questions, but, you know, as a routine here on the Frying Pan, I let the listeners take the lead. 312-981-7200. Phones are already lighting up here. I like this idea. I do. I think that that's something that you've heard more often than not, that people kind of screw up the handshake. They go too long. They go too strong. Yeah. They go too limp, which is a huge problem. I mean, it really does sort of can mess up a first impression. So there is something here for that.
You know, and as Ron Popeil, a famous and very successful salesman, used to say, set it and forget it. And that's the same with the better handshake. You set it once using a knob near your shoulder area. How many PSI do you want? You set it. And hey, if that ends up to be too soft or too firm, you can always adjust it for next time. But the idea is you find your perfect handshake, pounds per square inch. Set it once. You never have to worry about it again.
All right. Some stuff coming in. 312-981-7200. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, get everything squared away, and we will start the process of really giving feedback and poking holes in this thing. The better handshake. Tonight's invention idea from Steve Gadlin here on the Frying Pan on the download. 312-981-7200. Stay with us.